Hey everybody, welcome to Out the First. It's December 12th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for joining us for today's show. We've got two topics to talk about. Both are related to LIV, but affect the PGA Tour more directly than they affect LIV. One is the direct result of Jon Rahm going to LIV, and the other really isn't directly connected to it, but seemed like it was going to be connected to it, if that makes sense. We'll get into that here. Shortly. We're presented by friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. GolfNewsNet25 is the promo code. Save 25% on your first order. And make sure you get that holiday shopping done soon. I am a notorious procrastinator, and I need to be much better about that. I'm trying in my 41st year of life to get better at this stuff, but still stink at it. So save yourself some heartache, save some money at the same time. Swannies.co, GolfNewsNet25 is your promo code. Okay, so let's start with, I guess, the bigger news of the two. Well, it's not, I guess. It is definitely the bigger news of the two. Tony Finau is staying on the PGA Tour in 2024. He posted to social media a kind of wrap-up of the Grant Thornton Invitational, which he played with Nelly Korda. Kind of said, you know, I'm a big Nelly Korda fan for life. You know, it was a great opportunity to play with her. Look, you know, this was a great year. Looking forward to next year. See you in Maui. Well, guess what that means? He's playing on the PGA Tour next year. And this was, I think a significant surprise. I mean, I think the legitimate reporters out there, and I'm pretty sure this had even come from James Corrigan, and I don't want to get that, I don't want to stick him with bad information, but at least some legitimate reporter out there had Finau and Hatton still could, go to LIV. And that announcement was imminent. That was about to happen for sure. And then the LIV bots got out there like, oh, it's totally happening. Here we go. Everything's great. And then Finau goes on social media, uses the hashtag I'm not leaving, and see you in Maui. Okay, well, that's a bit of a surprise, I've got to be honest with you. I thought, as we talked about in the last episode, if you have a legitimate reporter attaching their name to it, that's bound to happen. And I obviously am somewhat surprised and, you know, happy to have Tony Finau back for 2024. That was a bit of good news for the PGA Tour faithful. I think someone else pointed out, I want to say Kenny Kim, who does a great job with the Fantasy Golf Degenerates stuff that he's done over the years, and just a good resource if you're into golf betting. And he said, well, I'm not sure that this is actually as good a news for the PGA Tour as it might seem. And what he meant isn't that Tony Finau playing on the PGA Tour is bad, but that it might create a false sense of security around whatever's happening on the PGA Tour policy board at this point. And I think there's a fair point to be made there. But there isn't much of a comparison to be made between two-time major champion and reigning Masters champion Jon Rahm fleeing for LIV for a guaranteed $300 million-ish dollar sum versus Tony Finau, who probably would be moving over for, I don't even know, $50 million, $75 million, some outsized sum of money. It's not, people love Tony Finau. They love watching him play golf. He's become a fairly prolific winner on the PGA Tour, but there's no comparison. So I don't think Tony Finau choosing to stay with the PGA Tour, for whatever reason, we'll talk about that in a second, is something that's going to create even more delusion. If you thought everyone was delusional before, I don't think that's going to change. And I'm still not totally convinced everyone in that room is delusional. You know, they have your feelings about Cantlay and how he's portraying himself. And Spieth came to his defense with Doug Ferguson of the Associated Press and basically called him a dick, but a guy that's not just a rogue dick. He's not a rogue dick, I guess. But that, I think at what happened with Rahm expedited just a little bit more what was happening. Just a little bit. I think they probably got in there with the strategic sports group stuff. They probably already made up their mind there. There have been rumors out there for weeks that Fenway Sports Group was going to get what they wanted, and they were going to have a big bid in. And Alan Shipnick had reported that, and he was also the same guy who reported that Phil Mickelson was telling people that Rahm's in on LIV. So Alan has good information, typically. What I think obviously wasn't right about that is that Fenway Sports Group is part of a bigger group, this strategic sports group of billionaire owners of various North American sports franchises and beyond. So got the gist of it right, but not the exact details of it right. And I think all that was going to happen anyway. It was just kind of a matter of when they decided, all right, you're our partner and you're our one and only non-Saudi partner, and whether they choose to continue to negotiate with the PIF or they kick them out or what. There's still 19 days till December 31st. And I'm not entirely convinced that a deal will be made with the public investment fund, knowing how much at least paper wealth is backing them in that strategic sports group. I'm not exactly sure that that's the case. And for some other reasons I've laid out in the show in the past. So that all that to say, hey, you've got Tony Finau back in your camp for sure. That's a very nice thing. Who knows what happens with Tyrrell Hatton? If Tyrrell Hatton makes the same calculation as Rahm, that they'll change the rules for Ryder Cup eligibility. He doesn't have to remain a DP World Tour member to do that. I don't know. Or the rules may not even have to change. Jon Rahm hasn't given up his DP World Tour membership yet. And historically, the DP World Tour has simply said, you're going to pay about $100,000 per start that you make on LIV as a penalty. So let's just say, we, you know, 2 years from now, I'll take Rahm as the example because you know he's in LIV. But if there are other Ryder Cup eligible players who do this, and they go, okay, I'm going to sign with LIV, I'm going to take the penalty, I'm going to keep my DP World Tour membership, and maybe I have status as an all-time money award winner, like Bernd Fiesberger. You either get LIV to agree to pay your fines, or you just build that into your contract, and you just keep earning points. And you might not play DP World Tour events, or very many of them, but you can do that in the off season. I mean, that's possible, and for LIV at least. And then you do your participation part. Hopefully, you play well enough if you're a player to get into the majors and do well in the majors. You earn enough points that way, and you're in. It's a gambit, but that's a way you could still get into the Ryder Cup and not have to resign your membership. And as Rory McIlroy talked about changing the rules, you may not even have to change the rules to accommodate that. You may not. But if you're a DP World Tour member, you can also be picked. So if you keep your membership, if you're Jon Rahm and you're willing to pay the fines and stuff and just kind of eat a couple $1 million away a year at your big salary, which is next to nothing compared to what he's making, then okay, you're basically paying $4 million to guarantee you're on the Ryder Cup team that you really want to play on. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what he's going to make. So we'll see what happens with Hatton, I suppose. There are other players who could go, of course. I haven't heard very many rumors otherwise. Again, as I've kind of said, I feel like the hatches have not been entirely batted down. You know, that's never the case, and we've seen that with Rahm. Eventually, if they offer you enough money, they'll probably get to your number if they want you badly enough. So there are probably some other players who will go, and they'll have to have a 52-player league, and we'll see what that looks like. And then we'll go from there. But in the meantime, you've got at least Finau agreeing to stick around. And I don't know exactly why or what precipitated that. I think that will be an interesting series of whispers you'll hear eventually, why he stayed. And I can think of a couple of different reasons why. One is maybe the Saudis like, we're good. We got our leverage. We don't need to spend anymore. We know what we've got now that we've got Rahm. We want to see if we can get a deal done here in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't really need you right now. Thank you, though. And they said no to Finau. Finau also could have said no because he's engaged in legal activity, lawsuit type stuff around people who provided him seed money through his dad when he started his career. So if Finau decides, you know, they've got a case, maybe I'm going to have to fork over 20%. Well, why would I sign with Liv then and potentially have to pay 20% of that to them? Much less taxes, agent stuff, those types of things. Maybe it's that. Maybe it is simply, I really don't want to do this. I don't like the vibe I'm getting. I'm not going to do it. There are a bunch of different reasons why, but I think those are probably the three most likely that figured Liv didn't need him anymore, or Liv figured they didn't need him right now, or he figured he would have to pay more of it because of potential legal ramifications, or he was just like, you know what? I've really liked my time on the PGA Tour. I don't see a need to change right now. Could be that too. I mean, if anybody, Finau's got what, like 4 or 5 kids? I mean, he's got a lot of mouths to feed. So for people who are going to go take the Liv money, I mean, you're splitting that generational wealth 5 ways. So that's not just guaranteed money for everybody in perpetuity once you get past taxes and stuff. But anyhow, all right, we'll go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you've wanted to buy gold for years. Lots of commercials out there, but who can you really trust? I don't want a bad investment, but didn't want to miss the boat either. Sound familiar? Fortunately, I've got great news. If you have an IRA or 401k and want to buy physical gold, eliminate fear and uncertainty from the process using the new Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist. It helps you evaluate and choose the best gold IRA company. I used it personally to vet Augusta Precious Metals, and they are absolutely phenomenal. Use this checklist to choose the best gold IRA company. Text to get your free Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist today. Text GOLF to 68592. Again, text GOLF to 68592. That's GOLF to 68592. Or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. All right, we're going to try to get back to like a normal length show. Like, we've been having these too many 20, 22-minute, 24-minute, 29-minute shows. And I really like to try to keep this around 20 to 22 minutes every day. So we're going to try to do that today with our second story. And this is a more technical story, but does have implications because of Liv to the PGA Tour. So, as you may have surmised, you may have read, when Jon Rahm signed to play with Liv, he violated the PGA Tour's rules about playing unauthorized events because Liv is still considered unauthorized. And that meant an immediate suspension. That meant he lost his eligibility under the 2022-2023 PGA Tour season, which impacted two guys specifically, because that took him out of the FedEx Cup eligibility. And what that meant is everybody beneath him moved up one spot. So for Mackenzie Hughes, he went from 51, the guy who just missed the BMW Championship and therefore just missed an opportunity to play in every signature event next year. That made him 50th. So guess what? Now, Mackenzie Hughes is in every signature event next year. Thanks to Jon Rahm, might have to send him a fruit basket. Him leaving got him a whole lot of guaranteed money because, with what, 8 signature events and 70 to 80 players guaranteed money for most of them. I mean, a couple are going to have a cut, but 6 of them are guaranteed money. Ooh, that's a sizable chunk of cash going his way. I mean, something like $750,000. I don't know what the exact payout structure is going to be on these events yet, but that's a huge gift to Mackenzie Hughes. And then the other guy who really benefits from this is Carl Yuan, who moves up in terms of his priority order as well because Jon Rahm is out of the FedEx Cup eligibility. So Carl Yuan finished 126th in the point standings, and he moves up to 125th. He was in Q school. Now he's not. He's good to go. So he gets the benefit of being in every single regular event next year. And that's all because Jon Rahm's gone. And from what I've read here from the PGA Tour, their explanation of it, I still think Rom will get paid out a chunk, if not all, of what he made in the FedEx Cup by finishing T18 at the Tour Championship. I still think he will get paid out on that if he has not been already. So that's worth noting. I don't see anywhere in the article them saying that they would not pay Rom. I have no idea how that's going to actually work out, though. But Rom was informed by the PGA Tour that he broke PGA Tour tournament regulations. He's suspended and no longer eligible to participate in PGA Tour tournament play. So he's not going to be eligible to play in the Century if he wishes. Mackenzie Hughes, though, he is. So he has earned a spot in all the signature events, including the Century, by moving up that one spot on the playoffs and eligibility points list, which is a different list than the final FedEx Cup points list. So that they created that when LIV started, so they could basically say, well, you might have enough points to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs or some kind of purse payout related to the bonus pool, but you are ineligible because you played an unauthorized tournament or league. So therefore, your status is different. So there's that. So that means now Nick Hardy is number 51 in the FedEx Cup standings through the Tour Championship. And the way that they word that sentence makes it seem like they're not going to pay Rom, or they haven't paid Rom, or if they haven't, they're not going to. I don't know that exactly, but that makes him the first man out. Hughes was going to be one of several players who basically would have had starts in the signature events that were available to players based on the fall. So now Alex Smalley gets that benefit because he becomes one of those 10 players. And he gets two signature event starts to kick off the year. Century's for top 50, but he gets into the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Genesis Invitational. So he benefits. He gets basically almost $200,000 by virtue of John Rahm leaving the PGA Tour for LIV. So yes, that in the grand scheme of things is not a ton of money compared to what John Rahm did, but these guys do benefit. And Stephen Yeager and Alex Noren are the next two players behind Alex Smalley in the final FedEx Cup fall standing. So numbers 51 through 60 after the fall earned those spots in those West Coast signature events. So it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal to have that happen. And the next guy I should note, there are two other guys that actually it does matter for, not in big ways, but it does matter. Paul Haley II retains conditional status for 2024 because he moved up from number 151 to number 150. Players 126 to 150 get conditional status, which gets you somewhere in the area of historically 15 to 18 starts. That probably might change a little bit, but it may not based on the new schedule and the way that it's laid out. We'll see what happens there. And Jonas Blixt moved up to number 200 in that list, which means he has an opportunity to go play on the DP World Tour in starts next year, because they created a new category for players who finished 126 to 200, that there are, five or six players in a given tournament who finished in that cluster that can go play in any given DP World Tour event, which means he has a place to play next year beyond the Korn Ferry Tour. So that's interesting as well. If for whatever reason any other player in that side, that top 125, goes to LIV, your next beneficiaries in that order are Henrik Norlander, Maverick McNealy, and Patton Kizzire. Patton Kizzire is in Q school right now in the final stage, so he's trying to get back a fully exempt status. Webb Simpson is fully exempt through 2026 because of his Players' Championship win. He's number 151 in the standings, so number 152 really it doesn't help you in that case. You would need Webb Simpson to leave for LIV, so that's worth pointing out. Then there's a little bit of it's in this article, so we'll talk about it, but the memo from the PGA Tour Policy Board basically is trying to assuage concerns from players about how they're going to change the FedEx Cup points distribution for signature events, the way that it had been set up. They had announced that they were going to give 750 FedEx Cup points to the winners of the majors and the players. The signature events would get 700 points to the winner, and then you'd keep 500 points for full field events to the winner, and opposite field events would be 300 points. And there's a letter out there from like 21 players signed by an attorney that these players demand to know what the proposals are on the table and everything that's changing, and they want to know what the heck's going on. And they're guys that really don't have great status or much status at all. So there is that out there. At least there is acknowledgement of that concern, and they are looking into it, which basically means they're not going to change anything probably. Or if they do, it's not going to be that big of a deal, and that's how it's going to work. And the memo said that, you know, they're going to look at it throughout the course of the season, and a thorough review of the points will now take place at the June 2024 policy board meeting, which basically means it's going to work this way this season, deal with it, and we may change things for 2025, but this is what we've come up for this year. Good luck to you. So, lots of things happening. Some of these things have tangible, weirdly positive benefits for people, and I wanted to point those out because we are in that kind of stage of the year where you need to know your number, because it impacts everything that you do next year, especially in the first part of next year. If you're in that 126 to 150 category, if you're in that top 30 on the Korn Ferry Tour, if you're basically in those categories that get into the what's called the reshuffle, where every 5 to 6 to 7 events, your status, your ability to play events is determined by how well you played in the prior 5 or 6 events or the season to date. That is extremely important to guys like that. So for Mackenzie Hughes, it's a nearly $1 million gift. For Carl Yuan, it's an opportunity to not have to deal with Q School. For Alex Smalley, it's a guaranteed couple $100,000 basically coming his way. So there are lots of things that happen that John Rahm probably didn't even know or cared about, but does have an impact, and I wanted to point those out. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. Nerding out a little bit on some tour policy, which is always kind of fun. And we'll be back with another show tomorrow. We still have Q School to get through. That hasn't even started yet. That's got to happen starting on Thursday. We'll get to that. We've got the PNC Championship. We've got the Mauritius Open. We've got the final event of the year on the Asian Tour. We've got LET Q School, which is coming down to the wire in their pre-qualifier stages. And then next week, they'll have their final stages. So there's lots of things still happening in the world of golf. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, X, Threads, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. If you have any other ways you want to get a hold of me, come to our website, golfnewsnet.com. You can find out how to get a hold of me there as well. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next time on 2 Off the First.